Okay.
I think so.
All right, I think we should get this big controversial hearing underway. Welcome to the July 28th meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll?
Saltzman, Novick, Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Hales.
Here. And we have a single item before us. Would you read that, please?
Item 889, year one report on the $68 million Parks 2014 General Obligation Bond.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. In 2014, 74% of Portland voters passed a measure to issue up to $68 million in general obligation bonds to pay for the capital costs of repairs and improvements to existing parks facilities. I asked park staff to identify the most critical repairs and improvement needs within the park system in partnership with the Portland community. The initial project list includes repair and replacement of playgrounds, pools, restrooms, trail bridges, community centers, and maintenance facilities throughout the city. Because, as we all remember, it was the Fix Our Parks bond. It wasn't for shiny new stuff. It was for maintaining and improving what we have. A key part of the bond program has been focused on maximizing the use of minority women and emerging small business firms. Very happy to report in this first of the annual reports that 32% of the bond professional services contract and 21% of construction contracts have gone to these firms so far. The total dollar amount for these contracts awarded to minority women and emerging small business firms is nearly $1.9 million. Director Mike Abate was hoping to and planning to be here today, but he is in Eugene since his daughter is in the process of giving birth, and we wish him and them all the best. So Marianne Kasten, our wonderful bond manager, will give us all the details.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and members of the council. I'm very pleased to be here with our first annual report. What we have in front of us is something that won't advance.
It will.
There we go. I'm going to change up from the usual order of things and tell you that we're going to tell you first about our first year of progress, how we approached it. Secondly, we'll do our schedule and budget overview, run a few statistics past you, talk about performance, some of our highlights, and finally, what is in the report and how we plan to distribute it and what's happening next year. This year, we called laying the foundation. As you know, anytime you take off on a big new adventure like this, there's a lot of preparatory things that need to happen. Among those, we included getting a whole new staff. These folks were recruited from across the nation, and we have 8 people. It's a lean team of only 5 project managers because the way we're approaching this one is we are contracting out all of the consulting services. So there's a lot more private work involved in getting the projects put together. The 8 people we recruited are all highly talented and have jumped right in. We also took the pretty sketchy project list and put a ton of time into refining all the budgets, making sure we were on track with scopes and schedules. We established a lot of Excel spreadsheets and various tracking systems to make sure we knew exactly where we are on all our measures. And then finally, but not least at all, we have, with your help, recruited the best oversight committee. In fact, I would venture to say it's the best public committee that I've ever worked with in my long career. To a person, they are bringing really great questions, all posed in the way that makes us think and makes the program a better thing than it would be without them, and giving us great advice along the way. And, yes, there were projects. 26 of them got started, as a matter of fact, this first year. At this moment in time, I'm happy to say that 18 of them are ahead of schedule. 3 in just 2 park sites are behind schedule, and 12 are spot on schedule. This graph shows a number of things. It shows that here in this first year, the solid line toward the bottom is our startup year. So you can see we ramped up spending, but it's going to greatly accelerate in the years to come. And also appropriate for a startup phase, you'll see a higher than you'd want to see over the long term kind of percentage going to administrative costs. I'll show you in a later slide how that's going to drop dramatically over time, but you can see even a year from now that'll be down to 5%. In the meantime, construction, we've only spent 38% of it this first year on construction, but that's going to jump up to 60% next year, so these things will change over time. The little orange dots you see are the bond spend down targets, and you'll see that we have not met them. It is not a cause of concern because we fully expect to reach them. It's been a little slow on getting good bids, and again, I'll talk about that later. But we don't anticipate that to be a continuing pattern, and we're on target. We will be on target when we really need to be. A few statistics for you. 26 projects underway, one completed, yay. There's a lot more starting this last year. In fact, all the remaining ones from the first list will start this year. The next two numbers show how hard we've worked to get out and communicate with the public, and it's not just that we held the meetings, but we're also tracking who's coming to the meetings. Each project has an appropriate-sized public involvement process, so we're not calling big meetings to say what kind of roof do you want on this community center. But we are having a big process when it's something people really care about, like what is the playground going to involve. The final number is $4.5 million. You might say, well, why are you so proud of yourself for spending money? Well, here's what that estimates. It's hard to be very precise about this, but we think that around 90% of those dollars are staying local. And when we say where local, well, in this first year, the biggest chunk, $2.3 million, went to Northeast Portland. East Portland got $1.2 million investment, with smaller shares going to North Portland and Southeast. The things that are going well is a long list. It includes things like the fact that the projects are well received. The public likes seeing these kind of projects. They think that the investments are well spent, and we're not getting a lot of controversy, which is great. Almost all the projects are on schedule. Budgets are being met, except for grant pool, where we did go over. Our tracking tools are well utilized, and we appreciate having them in place. The staff appreciates them, as do others we need to communicate. And I have to give a lot of credit to the team. We would not be here without the great team we have. And that includes not just people on my team, but throughout Parks. This is the slide I referred to before about administrative costs, and you can see in the beginning, yeah, a lot of money spent getting things up to scratch, getting staff trained well. We're currently last month 4.8%, and you can see that number just keeps dipping. So what we anticipate over the life of the bond is an overall cumulative number of 6%. Commissioner Fritz already referred to our numbers on minority women and emerging small business utilization. As you know, your goals are 20% for PTE, professional and technical services, and 20% for construction contracts. We exceeded those goals, but we intended you better. In part, that's due to the outreach efforts. Staff goes to a lot of trade shows. We're marketing these projects very aggressively. We put in place a tailored insurance program. We understand that some of the smaller firms, especially in the design world, have trouble meeting all of the insurance requirements we put out there as a general rule. So working with the city attorney and risk management office, we tailored the requirements to the type of service they're providing and did it in a uniform, consistent way so that those aren't the barriers that they were. We're also piloting a flexible schedule program because we are ahead of schedule. It allows us the opportunity to put contracts out, give the contractors a longer period of time to do it, but say once you start, you need to finish in the time we've allotted. So it makes it a more marketable product. And finally, we've taken a lot of advantage of the wonderful prime contractor development program. It's been a perfect match for our projects, and a lot of kudos to the procurement office staff for their help in putting us together with the contractors that this would really make a difference to. This graph might be hard to look at it first, but it's telling a really good story. On the black on the left, that's the individual contractors' contracts for professional service that are going to consultants that are not MWESB. On the right, we wanted to parse it and make sure that people understood exactly which category they fit in. So you can see the one blue dot in the middle, that happens to be a firm with a medium-sized contract that's not only minority but also women-owned, also emerging small business. So we have kept careful track of these numbers. We know where we're doing well and where we need to do more work. Not quite as rosy a story for construction contracting, but it's the same kind of analysis. And we can also say that we exceeded the non-ESB goal. You can see that most of those dollars are going into minority and women-owned, not just the ESB there. Beyond the overall contract, one of the things we're tracking is who's working for these companies. So far, we only have the data for one project. It's Grant Pool, but I'm happy to say that we have a 43% minority rate in journey-level workers. So on to challenges. If I had to name one, it would be an easy answer. It's the bidding climate. The construction market remains very tight. So far, we've bid 8 projects, and on 2 of them, we had to completely start over. We had 0. And at most, I mean, it's a happy day when we get 3 bids, so that's not extremely competitive. The average is well under 2. So when you don't have a competitive market, of course, your bids are going to be higher. We're well aware of this issue. We know we're not alone in it, and we're using the strategies I mentioned above to make a difference there. Some of the project highlights include Grant Pool, and I was so happy to be out there on July 25th. Gorgeous day, great week to open a new pool ahead of schedule, or at least ahead of when the public expected it. Some great work went on there. Highlight of the next year, we're happy to be going out to bid with our first playground project. And I love the before photo here at Lentz Park and the after. It's going to be such a difference for that neighborhood. And as I mentioned before, there's a lot more construction coming. So people have not seen a lot of actual work in the neighborhoods. They will. They can't miss it this coming year. We're going to be all over the city. And, of course, our second bond list. That will start to be formulated within parks, starting with the same kind of critical repairs and replacement projects, again, sticking with the theme of fixing what's broke. Then we will follow that with a public involvement process at the very end of 2016 into early 2017 to finalize those last $20 million worth of work. As for the report itself, you have in your hands the long version. This long version is already posted on the web. People are already looking at it, so that's great. In addition to that, we have a shorter version. There's 7,000 of these printed. These are going to be distributed widely at all of the community centers, and some are free-for-all events, so they will get all over the place. And I just saw it still needs to be proofed, but the Spanish version of that is available as well. So that'll be distributed where that makes sense. And we've talked a lot here about statistics, and in the report itself, you'll see it's a pretty factual, dry by the numbers. This is what we did. This is what's going well. This is what isn't. But there's a people side to this story, too, and it's why we do what we do. So there's a handful of stories of the people, the places, how we affected people's lives. This may be my favorite one. This is a photographer that we hired. We wanted a professional quality before and after photos of the work we're done. And it turns out that the gentleman we hired basically grew up in Northeast Portland at Irving Park and Matt Dishman. And he remembers all the names of the community center directors that he worked with. They made such a difference in his life, in his work ethic, and he says, I know how to practice. And he took that same kind of dedication, plus his own innate talent, all the way to the Olympics in South Korea in 1988. He's gone on to a successful career, and it's been just a pleasure to work for him. And if you see his quote here, he says he knows it's good for his business, not only because of the photogenic backgrounds, but because it's evidence of a city that cares. This is my last presentation to you, but I'm leaving the program in wonderful hands. Kia Selly has done a very smart reorg, and Lauren McGuire, who is our capital program manager, will be taking over my duties. I'm leaving things in pretty good shape and been happy to do what I did this last year and a half. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marianne. Could you tell us who are the people serving on the oversight board?
Yes, I'd be happy to. In fact, I think there's some people here.
Yes.
I see Jonath Colon. Dion Jordan is the chair. Zeri Santner is on the committee, as well as Karen Loper and Don Grotting, who will need to switch in the fall. But that's been this remarkable oversight committee.
And my understanding is that they're going to be bringing a separate report to us. Is that correct?
That is correct. You can look for, they haven't set the exact date, but they're poring over this report already. They're working on their draft. They've been meeting diligently about what can they say, how to improve what we're doing, and they will be talking to you probably September or October.
If you'd like to say anything today, you're welcome to, or no, wait till the official one.
Marianne, I have a question for you. I think I have, my report doesn't have the little spiral that yours does.
I'll make sure you get one.
I would
one.
Love to have one. But I would like to have that just because it will be more durable, because I want to pass this around, because I think it's one of the most beautifully presented report of its kind. So it begs the question, who worked on this?
It was a whole team of small businesses, little contracts. Our professional photographer went out and got those photos. We had Laura Foster, the story writer. The only writing she did, but it's the best writing in there, obviously, is the stories. I wrote the rest of the words myself. In-house, Maya Spencer did all of the editing independent contractor for consulting for the Spanish translation, and then the graphics designer was Paste in Place, one person ESB shop.
Well, congratulations to everybody who worked on it. The high impact, easy to read, clear. I was just talking to a group the other day that has to make an annual report to council. In September, they were asking whether they could do like a 3-page letter. I will not share this with them because it will cause too much anxiety. But it's, I think it's very important when we do big things like this and we spend a lot of taxpayer money that we produce something of this quality. So I congratulate you and your team.
Thank you.
Okay, nicely done. Other questions for Marianne? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Other testimony on this report? If not,
question.
Sure,
Commissioner Fritz, what's the process and the timeline for the next? I'm gonna channel Kurt for a second. Kurt would call it tranche, but what the next cluster of bond projects? How's that going to go forward?
Well, it'll only be it's one of two. The next one. So this is the first project with about $48 million worth of work, and then the next will only be about. Only be about $20 million. Or of course, $20 million sounds like a lot of money, and we have about $300 million on the capital improvements list for parks. So the process is going to. We wanted to do it on the later part of this year and the beginning of next because we wanted to learn from the experience that we've had. For instance, that the grant pool ended up costing more than we had expected, and some of the other projects went better than expected. So this will give us, and plus, obviously, for the second round. Contracting prices may be up or down, so we'll get a better estimate about how much we could do. But then we'll be going to the Neighborhood Coalition Parks Committees and to the Parks Budget Committee and out into the general community to do the very difficult job of prioritizing what are the next $20 million that rise to the top of being the most urgent, the most dangerous if we don't fix them. And also making sure that we do provide something to everybody in each of the seven areas of the city so that people know that their tax money has been spent wisely.
Very good, thank you.
Other questions? And then, if not, a motion, please.
I move to accept the report.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Fritz. Well, thank you very much to my two colleagues for being here today and for being as impressed with the presentation as I was, and to our entire parks team. And when I say our parks team, I mean everybody in the city as well as the staff who get paid, because these are our parks. We are fixing our parks, and people are helping in great ways or small ways to help on the designs, to give feedback, and most of all, to enjoy the product when it's done. So that, as Marianne said, is one of the greatest joys of our job, when you see the first kids jumping back into grant pool and know that despite all of the challenges we had doing that first and most crucial project, that in fact it's been done and it's ready for decades to come, if not generations to come. So I really appreciate that. Have to particularly thank Marianne Kasson. As she mentioned, she's retiring at the end of the month. In fact, right after this, we're going to go to her retirement party. And she's as you know, has been a great member of the Parks team over a long time, and I really appreciate your leadership of this project. I know that you'll be leaving it in good hands. And again, our internal team of folks who get paid, we actually put a lot of heart into it as well, a lot of time that maybe we doesn't show up on the taxpayer's clock. And I appreciate it very much. So thank you to everybody, and most of all to the Portland voters for their overwhelming, in fact, record-breaking support of our bond measure. Aye.
Commissioner Fritz, thank you for the work that led to this report. The most important work, of course, was passing the bond measure. And when I heard Mary Ann say this is the best oversight committee that she's ever worked with, I'm going to follow up to find out what their term limits are. Because we have some other assignments we might want to run by them. Mary Ann, thank you for your service on this and so many other things. It's really a pleasure to have you on the team. And you have a panel here of former and current Parks Commissioners, so it runs very deep here. And I would just say that now that my family is back in Oregon, we're using our parks more than ever. So we're grateful that the voters have given us these resources to make these improvements. And we, like most Portlanders, love our park system, and we're grateful for this treasure. So thank you very much. Aye.
Mills.
Well, thank you, Commissioner, and Parks Bureau. And we'll celebrate this progress, and then very shortly we will celebrate you, Ms. Kasson. So great job, as always, and bon voyage. Aye. Thank you all. We're adjourned.
3 minutes.